Good morning, First Baptist Church of the Elon family.
Morning.
Good morning. It's good to see y'all this morning. Thank you for gathering here at our parking lot this morning for our drive-in worship service. Thank you for joining us this morning, those that are gathering with your families via Facebook Live this morning. It is a good day. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather for worship this morning. Those that are listening via our website or by our CD ministry this morning, we are thankful that the Lord has blessed us with another beautiful day to gather and praise His name this day. It is a wonderful day to worship. As we gather and worship this morning, I do want to remind you about just a few things coming up in the life of our church. I do want to remind you this afternoon at 4 p.m., we will be gathering for our Elon Roundtable business meeting. That'll be at 4 o'clock in our fellowship hall. We will be socially distancing in the fellowship hall. We ask that you do wear a mask for that time of meeting. We have many things that we'll be talking about, voting on for that meeting. This is our first roundtable meeting in some time. I think it's been 6 months since our last roundtable meeting. So please come out this afternoon at 4 o'clock today for that roundtable meeting. Also, I want to remind you about our Wednesday evening Bible study that we do via Facebook Live at 6:30. You can join us this Wednesday. We're continuing our study. This is week 3 in our God in the Pandemic study using N.T. Wright's book. This week we'll be looking at chapter 3 in his book. We'll also be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and John this week as he turns his attention to the Gospels and Jesus and what he says from Scripture that will help us as we deal with the emotions from this time of the pandemic. So I encourage you to join us at 6:30 p.m. On Facebook Live for that study. You also can go to our website and kind of look through the past weeks of our study. The study guides can be found there. The study guide for Session 3 will be able to found there a little bit later in this week. So join us at 6:30 for that Bible study. The Thursday morning, join us at 9 a.m. for our prayer pack. We spend some time in prayer as we look at those in our church family that are going through difficult times. And I know you've heard this week through email and through our prayer chains that go through Life Our Church. We have many in our church family that are dealing with difficult times right now. So be in prayer for those individuals. And also we pray for our community. We pray for our world. So 9 a.m. On Thursday mornings we gather. So join me on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. In our fellowship hall. Sometimes we gather outside to pray as well, depending on how the weather is. So 9 a.m. on Thursday mornings, join me for the prayer pack. Also, you will notice on your bulletin this week that we are collecting items. We're going to be putting together some welcome bags for those individuals from our community, our college students here at Elon, when they join us for worship in the coming weeks and months. And also, we're going to try to place some and some of the welcome centers here on the Elon campus for our college students as they come into our community. Some of those items like small hand sanitizers, face tissue, packets, wrapped hard candy, just something to say, hey, we want to welcome you to our community. We know that we're praying for you. Give a little bit of information about our congregation. We'll be putting those bags together, and this is being led by our college team here at First Baptist Elon. But if you're willing to participate and help assist by collecting some of those items, we're asking that you collect those items and just drop them off by the church in the next couple weeks. And we'll be collecting those items and putting these nice bags together in the coming weeks to have here at the church. And also our hope is to place them place those bags somewhere at on campus at Elon so they can distribute those items, maybe hopefully through the Religious Life Center there on the campus here at Elon University. So just a couple of things that are going on. I hope you received your newsletter this week and are looking at some of the other things that are going on here at First Baptist Elon. Know some of the other ministry opportunities that are coming up in the coming weeks. I'll be talking about our September worship schedule in just a few minutes during our ministry highlight. But we are gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you're able to print out the worship schedule this morning for our order of worship. I hope you'll join us in praise as we sing this morning. So if you will, stand up this morning. Let's sing our song of praise together, Living Hope. Let's stand and worship.
Well, good morning. Let's worship together. Living Hope. Let's say.
Our opening scripture this morning comes from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. Like a champion rejoicing to run his course, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much more pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As we gather here this day, may the words that we sing and proclaim, not just from what comes from our lips, but what comes from our heart, be pleasing to God this day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, whose signature we see, if we just dare to look and open our eyes, in the creation of the universe, help us this hour of worship to look and to listen for your handwriting and your voice in this place today, among these people, among your very creation. Connect our temporary praise to your timeless rhythm, your ageless melodies, your everlasting joyful noise. Guide us now to focus upon you, nothing else, just you, knowing that in you our distractions become new possibilities for action. Breathe life into our singing, into our praying, into our speaking, into our listening, that all these activities might become more than who we are. In our worship, we reach out to you, God, knowing that you have already embraced us in your arms this day. In Jesus Christ, we lift this prayer. Amen.
In Philippians 2, 10 and 11, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's stand and let's worship together. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Turn the page on the calendar to the month of September. We look forward to the opportunity for worship in the coming month, and we have seen great success with our drive-in worship services over the past 3 months, and I have heard from many of you, of our participants, especially the desire to continue these outside worship experiences. I want to thank you for your feedback Gang and I both want to thank you for your feedback over the last couple months. Your words of encouragement from everyone, not just from those that are participating in our outside worship services, those that were getting feedback from our Facebook participants, and just across the our entire congregation. We want to say thank you. But however, we recognize as a staff that there are some within our congregation that outside worship is just not conducive, but just because of health and other reasons. So as Gay and I were talking over, especially over the last couple of weeks, we want to try something a little bit different. So for the month of September, we want to provide multiple worship opportunities on Sunday mornings, basically to try to meet the needs of our entire church family. So starting next Sunday morning and continuing through for the entire month of September, we will be providing two worship opportunities on Sunday. This will begin next Sunday. We will be providing a 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship service out here at 9:30 like we are right now. And then at 11 a.m., we will be providing an indoor worship service in the sanctuary. Now, the order of the worship service for both services, the 9:30 a.m. and the 11 a.m. worship service, will be very similar in nature. So you don't have to come to both. If you come to one service, it'll be very similar as the other service will be. You will not get to hear two completely different sermons. I've already been asked that three times this morning. I am not preaching two different sermons, okay? You hear one, you'll hear the other, okay? The order of worship will be very similar for both services, so church members can decide which service they would like to attend, which one they feel most comfortable attending. The 9:30 a.m. drive-in worship service right now, if the plan is to stream that worship service, but in talking to John this morning, we may decide to change that up. We're just not real sure about which one will be best technology-wise. It may be better to stream the 11 a.m. worship service. That's under conversation currently as we speak. But one thing I do want to say about the indoor worship service, I do want to strongly encourage you to review the list of safety protocols that we listed, we sent out months ago, but also that have been listed in your newsletter, in your September newsletter. There is a list of things that will be followed about our indoor worship service. We also ask that you keep us in prayer as we try something new for the month of September. This is something just for the month of September that we're going to try. We also will need extra hands to make this opportunity happen for the month of September. We'll need extra hands for the transitioning portion of it. We'll need extra hands to help move some of the things after our indoor worship service into the fellowship hall. So Gay and myself and those individuals that will be participating in both worship services to be able to make that happen. If you have any questions about these worship services, please talk to Gay or myself after worship today. Also, come to the roundtable meeting this afternoon. We'll talk a little bit more about those services as more of these details get fleshed out. But this will be just what we're going to try for the month of September. We want to try to meet the needs of everybody in our congregation, and this is what we're going to try for the month of September. So I hope you will take this opportunity to try and find which service that'll be most meaningful to you and which you feel most comfortable in attending. There will be an outdoor service, an inside worship service, and the service will still be streamed live on Facebook Live, either one of those services. And again, we're trying to meet the needs of the entire congregation. So be in prayer for this opportunity, and we look forward to worshiping again in the month of September.
Our offertory hymn this morning is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Let's stand and we'll sing all three stanzas.
Thank you.
after our time of offering, Tommy and Liz Hill will circulate the parking lot. If you have an offering and you're sitting in your car, you can just kind of wave your hand and they'll come by. If you have an offering, just kind of wave your hand or just sitting outside and they'll come by and pick it up for you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we come to this time in our service. Nurturing God, who welcomes all who sincerely believe in your sustaining grace, we are grateful that you compassionately offer your children an eternal home. We recognize that this offering today is only one way that you call us to practice Christian discipleship. But Father, we ask that you combine these resources that we return to you along with our talents, our prayers, and our very presence this day so that we may significantly influence the lives of those others that need and seek your love. We give this offering to you this day. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer again this day. And as we bow our heads, let's just spend just a moment in silence, reflecting on who God is and reflecting on who He has made us to be. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful hope we have in Christ that day by day we are being renewed in our very being. Now, even though, Father, we can see that our outward bodies are growing older, thank you for our present privileged position in Christ and for the glorious future destiny we have in heaven. I pray that we will not lose heart as we see our outer shell, our outer self decaying, but we'll stand strong in the faith and press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus as we watch for His any day return, when this mortal will put on immortality. and this perishable body, this jar of clay, will be clothed in an imperishable way for your greater praise and glory. We praise your name, O God, for the glory without limit that awaits all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. May we face the afflictions and difficulties and stress of this world that are inevitable in this world system with the same eternal perspective, the godly grace and patient endurance and unspeakable joy that we see in Paul, who we'll be reading about in just a few moments. Help us not to look at the circumstances of life with dread and fear, but rather may we view them as part of the eternal tapestry of our lives that you have woven together for good. Father, I pray that we may look forward with joy to the limitless glory that you have prepared for those that love you. No matter what difficulties and dangers we may be called upon to face, and no matter what difficulties we are facing right now, Father, I just come to you today and I thank you and praise you for this day, for this opportunity to praise you, and for this moment, I say thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, and I lift this prayer. Amen. Again, I want to say good morning. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship this day. It is a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with, and it is good to gather in your presence. For those that are gathered here, for those that are gathered with us this morning via Facebook Live, it's a blessed day. It's a beautiful day to worship and celebrate the risen Lord. For those that are listening via our website this morning or via CD ministry this morning, we hope you have been touched by our time of worship and our time of praise this morning. I want to thank you for the many individuals, specifically for those who participate in our worship, who help make these worship opportunities take place. There's a lot that goes into this time of worship each morning, each Sunday morning, and there are many. You see you this morning. There are many behind the scenes, and I want to thank everyone not by name, but I just want to thank those that are able to make this service happen every Sunday. I also want to thank you to the many individuals who reached out to me this past week by way of email or comments on Facebook or dropping by the church this week, who commented on this past week's sermon. That last Sunday sermon was the first in a two-part sermon series from 2 Corinthians, Paul's letter, centered on the message of hope. And I heard in those messages and just in those comments and a common theme from those messages that I received. And that common theme was that image that Paul used in 2 Corinthians about being a earthen vessel or a clay jar, feeling broken or chipped or cracked down. And I heard over and over again this week in those comments that people felt that way. They really felt that image that Paul used, and they felt that symbolism that he used in that passage. In the same way they commented, they felt the pressure of the world weighing down upon them. They felt that way that Paul used those terminologies, and they felt that they didn't feel worthy that they held that value that Paul talks about. You know, however, God chose us to hold a priceless treasure. You know, his presence inside of us, God chose us to hold that value. And that is where we can find that source of hope that we need when we face times of trial, difficulty, stress, you name it. That's where that hope is. It's inside of us. You know, and last week I told you that we can't forget that hope is inside of us. And I'm not going to re-preach that sermon last week, because if you want to listen to it, go back on Facebook page and you can pull that up. But I said it doesn't end there. It doesn't stop there. And I said we're going to pick that up this week in this week's sermon, because it doesn't stop with us just being that jar of clay or that earthen vessel holding that hope inside. It doesn't stop there. Because we don't just walk around with that hope inside of us, and then when things get rough and tough and cracked and broken and that stress weighing down on it, we just don't reach inside of it and pull it out like a battery charger when our phone starts dying, plug it in, and then we get charged all back up, and oh, we feel great now, and then we just keep going until we get cracked and broken down. That's not the way it works. That's not what Paul says. Because it doesn't stop that way. So we have to read the rest of chapter 4 to find out what Paul says we're supposed to do with it. What are we supposed to do with that hope that's inside of us? So last week, the title of the sermon was Hope Revealed in Us, because we had to see where that hope was and what that hope is. So last week, we identified what that hope is. But this week, the title of the sermon is Hope Revealed Through Us. So what do we do with that hope? So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's keep reading a little bit. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading verses 13 through 18. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. So as you turn with me in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, we've got to see what we're supposed to do with that hope. And as you turn there, again, reminding what Paul was going through, Paul had left the Corinthian church. And while he left, some authorities, some traveling ministers had come, traveling pastors challenging Paul's authority. They actually were challenging him because Paul had some health issues, ran into some trouble. And basically they said if Paul was having these health issues and having this trouble, maybe he wasn't teaching what God was wanting him to teach. Because if he was having his health problems, you know, God must not be on his side. And remember, Paul was shifting the focus not on himself, but Paul was shifting the focus on to what God was talking about, not what he was talking about. Paul was taking this to a large scale focus rather than making it personal. The traveling ministers were making it personal. Paul was taking it to making it about God. And that's what we have to do. And that's where this passage goes to. So reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Paul's words. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The first point that Paul is trying to make is this. Our hope inside in Christ gives us the spiritual strength to speak and not to stay silent. Paul encouraged the Corinthians church to have the confidence to speak out when facing confrontation. Often after Paul left the church, he would appoint leaders within that church to step up, basically in his absence. You know, to keep things going when he was gone. He identified leaders within that church to go and to keep things going, to be the leaders within the congregation, to teach, to lead, to kind of keep the ministry afloat, to keep things, to keep the church going. Because Paul knew he would not be able to be there the entire time. You know, it was no different among the believers at Corinth. He appointed leaders there. So these words may have been focused on those leaders to not be afraid to speak up when these confrontational ministers emerged challenging Paul's authority. Maybe they were focused on those leaders. We don't know. But however, the message here extended to the entire congregation as well. The Corinthian church had a responsibility. Despite the outward struggle of displacement within the community, persecution even from their own families, or displacement even from their economic groups in which they had probably functioned with, they were being called to draw from that hope within and share it with those others in the city of Corinth. They weren't called to keep it inside and just plug it in when they needed it. They were called to share it. Yes, they faced trouble. Yes, they faced persecution. Yes, they faced stress. But they were being enabled by Christ. There had never been a time where Jesus Christ had failed them when they needed it. Yes, it is easy to speak and be the voice of Christ when things are going great and when things are peaceful. Yes, it is easy when the ocean is calm to be able to be the voice of Christ. But Paul's not talking about that. Paul's talking about when the cracks are forming in your earthen vessel and when things are rough. That is when we must remember where that hope resides. And that hope resides in us because we're chosen. Paul was aware of our human limitations. Paul knew of his human limitations. He says in verse 16 that even though outwardly we are wasting away. He's talking about the shell. He's talking about, remember last week we talked about the envelope? He's talking about the envelope. Even though this is wasting away, he remained committed. We must remain committed to the job that God is giving us, that Christ is giving us. If there is breath in our lungs, we must speak out for the Lord and spread his word. He will give us the strength when things are tough. He is our source of hope. And he will renew us every single day. Can you imagine how many days Paul went to sleep thinking, I can't do this anymore? I mean, we can read about his story in Acts. Can you imagine how many days Paul went to sleep thinking, you know, God, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. But the next morning, he woke up renewed again for the work God had for him. Verse 16, again, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's from that inward hope. That's from God working inside of us. The second thing Paul was reminding the Corinthian church about, and he's reminding us about, is this. Our hope in Christ is working for a common goal. It's not an individual goal. It's not about me. It's about a common goal that every Christian is working towards. Paul was reminding the Corinthians that the goal was the eternal kingdom. It wasn't about Paul's kingdom. It wasn't about the Corinthian kingdom. It wasn't about the traveling minister's kingdom. You know, see, if Paul had made the ministry choices about him, he would have given up about 3 months into his ministry. You know, once the suffering, once the persecution started, once he started being imprisoned, you know, he would have given up. Because if it had been about him, if it's about us, we just give up. You know, he would have hung up his keys and said, God, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what you told me about. You know, why did you choose me for this job? But Paul knew it was not about him. It was about God's kingdom. It was about the hope that he was carrying inside of him, and he needed to share it with the Gentiles. And he needed to share it with everyone he encountered. That's why he was so passionate with the Corinthians in this letter. That's why he was pouring it out to them. That's why he was telling the traveling pastors, you know, they were making it about themselves. They were making it about Paul. And Paul said, it's not about me. It's about what's inside of me. It's about God's kingdom. It's about the hope. It's not about me. The message they should be carrying and sharing is about the hope inside. That's the message I'm carrying. That's what they should be carrying. That's what the Corinthians should be carrying. We should all be working together toward this common goal. In verse 17, he says, the light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs us all. An eternal glory that outweighs us all. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. Because when we start making it about us, me, or you, we failed him. Did you hear that? When we start making it about you or me, we fail him. It's dangerous when we start making it personal. Unfortunately, the Christian church and the world today should be working toward this common goal. We should be working together. Unfortunately, we often get derailed by minor distractions, differences of theological opinion, matters of preference or practice in the church, political disunion. And that takes our focus off the ultimate purpose of the body of Christ, building the kingdom of God. We get distracted by the cracks instead of building the kingdom of God. Paul recognized the diversity within each community in which he traveled. Do you think the Corinthian church and the Ephesians church were just like each other? Do you think the Galatians were exactly like the Corinthians? The answer is no. Do you think they thought exactly the same way? The answer is no. But they were working for one common goal. That's building the kingdom of God. He recognized that the God he worshipped was the creator of that diversity, and that God and the God he worshipped was the one calling for the united church to work together to build the kingdom of God. The goal is not about me. The goal is not about we, it's about him. Paul knew it was a work in progress, and Paul knew he had to be patient. The last thing that Paul said is this. He said, our hope, that hope inside, in Christ, knows that God is working through us, not just to stay in us, but through us, even when we don't even see it. Even when we don't even realize that God is working through us. Paul reminded the Corinthians that our focus should not be on the temporary things of the world. It's not about temporary, it's about eternal. Because those temporary things will pass away. The stresses of the world, the sufferings of this day, the pain of loss, the persecutions that we might be facing right now, or they might be facing right now, all of that will pass away, but the eternal glory of God will not pass away. Instead, this life is temporary, but eternal life with Christ is eternal. And knowing this, Paul said, he said, Corinthians, those moments of pain and suffering, don't focus on that. God will help us rise in those times. When you're facing those times where things are just so rough and tough and things you just can't get through. There's times of pain, and you're just not sure what's going on. And you wonder, God, why am I going through this? Guess what? God will lift you up. God will raise you up. It's temporary. Through that hope that is living inside of us. It is through that hope that God is making an impact in the world in which we live. Even when we don't realize it, He's working through you. Paul was reminding the Corinthians about this impact that they were making in their own community, even when they didn't know it. Within the walls of their own little church, within their believers. It wasn't a church like ours, it was a home church. It was in their community, they didn't even know it. Within their families, they didn't even know it. But God was working. You know, that hope was shining through them even though they didn't realize it. Now, you might be saying this morning, well, it sure is hard in the midst of a pandemic-ridden world to let that hope shine through. Yeah, it's really hard. I don't see many people in this world because I am shut off from the world. You might be saying, how can I, feeling like a broken clay jar, earthen jar, with numerous cracks and imperfections, you know, how or why would God choose me, working through me? Why or how are people seeing that hope in me? Let me close this morning with a story. There is a story of a water bearer in India who had two large pots. Each of these pots hung on either side of a pole, which he carried across his shoulders. One of the pots had a crack in it, and the other pot was perfect, always delivering a full portion of water at the end of a long walk from the stream to the master's house. The cracked pot, unfortunately, delivered only half of a pot of water. For 2 full years, this went on daily, with the water bearer delivering only 1.5 full pots of water to his master's house. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of his accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor, cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfections and miserable that it was only able to accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. I am ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you. Why? Asked the water bearer. What are you ashamed of? I have been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half of my load of water because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value from your efforts, the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old crack pot, and in his compassion he said, as we return to the master's house, I just want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. Indeed, as they went up the hill, the old crack pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the path, and this cheered it up some. But at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it had leaked out half of its load. And so again, it apologized to the bearer for its failure. The bearer said to the pot, did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaws, and I took advantage of it. You see, I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've been watering them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have had the beauty to grace his house. Each of us has our own unique cracks, flaws, crevices in our jars of clay. Yet God uses our weaknesses through the hope that he has stored in us to make a difference in the world. May we use our words and our actions to spread this hope to everyone we encounter as we seek to build the kingdom of God, knowing that God is working through us even when we don't realize it. You know, maybe God is growing flowers through you that he is gracing someone's table with today. You never know. Let us pray. Father, Paul reminded us in this letter that hope inside of us is not for us just to store up and to draw out when we are in need of it, but we are called to use that hope through our words and actions to show and shine that hope to the world. Father, I just ask that we have the strength and the resolve to use that hope through our words and actions to make a difference in the world. But Father, may we be reminded that you are using that on a daily basis, even when we don't even realize it. Father, I give you thanks for each and every individual today with all their cracks and flaws and imperfections in the earthen vessels, those jars of clay that we are, that you have made us each unique and that you've given and chosen us to carry that hope inside. And Father, may we use that hope to make a difference in the world. Father, that is our challenge this day and every day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to this time of invitation, maybe you have not realized that deep inside God has chosen you to be that bearer of hope. Maybe you haven't realized that he chose you so long ago, and that this morning is the first time that you have realized that, you know, I am chosen. Today's that day. Today's that day to choose him, to choose Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. I'll be down front this morning if today's the day where you want to come and proclaim that he is your Savior. I'll be down front to meet you if today is that moment. Or maybe today you're looking for a church home, a home that where you can proclaim that this place, this church body is a place where you feel that you can most use that hope that's deep inside to call this place a home, to share that love and that hope with anyone that you can encounter. I'll be down front to welcome you as well. Or maybe today you've kind of fallen off course. Maybe as that earthen vessel, that jar of clay that you need just a time at the altar, God's altar. Maybe you need that time of prayer. Come to the altar this morning. Pray. I'll be down the front to meet you as well. I'll pray with you this morning. Yeah, whatever the decision needs to be made today, make it. Don't put it off. Let us sing and praise this morning.
Our closing hymn this morning is old Andre Crouch song, Through It All. Through it all.
Today, may you carry that hope that's inside and share it with everyone that you encounter through your words and through your actions, and know that God is using you in ways that you may not even realize. I hope to see you this afternoon at 4 o'clock for an Elon Roundtable meeting. Go in peace.